So that part of the majlis, due to time constraint, we could not finish it. So it was very important nasihat. So I thought today inshallah we'll have a short majlis and we'll conclude some of those advices that was given to us by our Ustaz Muhtaram. Hazrat quotes the ayat of Allah Ta'ala, where Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That surely Allah Ta'ala accepts from pious people. Taqwa is obviously very, very important. And the person who instilled taqwa in the entire ummah was Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the source of taqwa. Obviously Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a guide, came to give practical demonstration for every facet of life, every aspect of life. In fact, there's no stone that has been unturned. If you look at the depth of our Shariat, if you look at the depth of the ta'aleem, it's mind-boggling. In fact, the more you study it, the more it mesmerizes a person to think that there's no aspect of a human life, whether it is his domestic life, whether it is his financial life, whether his interaction with human beings, whether he is, it encompasses everything, his akhlaqiyat. Everything has been covered by Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Leaves a person mesmerized. So from amongst the ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one aspect Hazrat highlighted, said one person asked Maulana Masullah Khan, what is the sunnat way of eating? Sunnat method of eating. What is the sunnat way of eating food? Obviously food is a great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. What is sunnat tariqah for eating food? Maulana Masullah Rahmatullah Ali said, khana aur khane wala, dono ek satah par ho. The person eating and the food itself, both must be on one level. The food, the level of the food and the person eating the food must be on one level. It mustn't be such the food is higher and the person is lower. It mustn't be such that the person eating is higher, the food is lower, and vice versa. So that the food is up, you down, or you up and the food is down. It mustn't happen like that. That's against the adab of eating food. If you're eating food, the dastarkhan, the level of the dastarkhan and the person seated, the level must be the same. That is the sunnat method of eating food. And it comes in the hadith of Shama'il al-Tirmizi Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's mentioned in the hadith, ma akala ala khiwan, that he did never eat in his whole life ala khiwanin. Khiwanin means on a dastarkhan, on a table and chairs. Whole life he ate on a dastarkhan. He never ate once on an elevated place, table of chairs. He never ate in his whole life. And the hadith, if I can recall correctly, and also sukurruja, the word sukurruja comes there. You know what sukurruja? That on his dastarkhan, you never have small bowls there with different relish, like how we have achar and we have this and we have that, and we call it taste enhancers. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never have all those things. He had simple food. It was placed on the floor. He sat down on the floor. He never ate food. His whole life he never eat from the table and chairs. Now this eating on the table and chairs has become our adat, unfortunately. This is khilafus sunnah. It's not established from any riwayat. Sahaba ate on table and chairs or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate on table and chairs. This is the manner of eating of the non-Muslims. They eat on table and chairs. Unfortunately, it has become normal in amongst Muslims also to eat upon table and chairs. Halake, it's khilaf sunnah. Hazrat went on to say that because of tashabbuh, it's makruh tahrimi to eat on table and chairs. He went that level. He said there's karahat in it, and even mentioned karahat tahrimi in his opinion. That's his view. Obviously, he's a mufti as well. So he says it's karahat tahrimi to eat on table and chairs because of the tashabbuh factor. And we have considered it to be insignificant. We take it very lightly to eat on table and chairs. The reason being it is not the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nor the sahaba, neither has been established even from one. Yes, if you got shari uzar, and that is a person is suffering from some back pain, some leg pain, he can't sit on the floor or whatever it is, then in that circumstance, you can eat. There is some rukhsat for you in your old age to eat on the table. Some lot of people, some ulama, they can't sit down anymore. They have knee problems, knee replacement, hip replacement, all those kind of things. Then there is rukhsat. You can eat on the table and chairs. But for people who are healthy, then in our homes, the sunnat of eating in the floor is no more there anymore. It's gone. We have basically made it standard to eat on the table and chairs. Breakfast do we have on the table and chairs, on our kitchen table. Then our lunch also is served there. Understand that our supper is served there. Basically all the meals are on top of the table and chairs. We find that to be convenient. And to set that dastarkhan on the floor, we consider that to be a hard work now. It's inconvenient. You have to lay everything out. Then you must dust it. You must pick it up and all that. And that's also one of the reasons why we are not healthy anymore, because of the fact that when you eat on the table and chairs, you eat more food. And you sit on the floor, your stomach gets compressed. And when your stomach gets compressed, then you start eating less. And if you eat less, then you will find that you are much more basically healthy. Overeating leads to ill health. And how much we're eating in one day? Too much. My same Ustad, Hazrat Mu'inatul Ashab, Damal Barakatum, gave me nasihat. He told me, you mustn't sleep less than 6 hours a day. If you sleep less than 6 hours a day, you're going to get sick. That's what he told me. And told me, try not to sleep more than 6 hours also. Once you start going to 8 hours, you'll find that you get up in the morning, there's burudat now, you start getting headache also. You get a headache. You are oversleeping. Oversleeping is also not good, and undersleeping. And the second nasihat he gave me, he said that make sure you have 3 meals a day. That means 3 meals on each time. Because your body also needs nourishment. If you have to do work also, you have to have nourishment. Sahabat. You see? So may aapko ek latifa sunata hu. So one day we're sitting with Hazrat Qamar Zaman sahab on a dastarkhan. Now when we go, Hazrat goes for Dawat, then people lay it out. They lay it out. They put nice food. Sanaji. Now Hazrat, I'm sitting next to him. So he's telling me, dekho ye ni'matau ke alwan hai. These are all different colors of the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Sanaji. Then he keeps on asking, main theek se kha raha hun? Am I eating right? Hazrat asking me. So, Ji, Hazrat, you are eating right. Hazrat, khana hi chahiye aapko, Hazrat. You have to eat right. You're doing so much of khidmat. You must have a proper meal. So, when we were sitting there, there was some velvet cake there on the side. Velvet cake. So, very like colorful cake on the side. So, wo bhi Hazrat ki aankh mein. That cake also came away in his eyes. Now, while eating, that thing disappeared. Right, but it went away somewhere else on the dastarkhan. It went away on the dastarkhan. Ab when Hazrat farigh ho gaye, kaha ki wo jo yahan rakha tha, wo kaha chala gaya. That cake that was here, what happened to that cake? Disappeared from here. That cake, when he woke, yahan, that cake that was there, what happened to it? It disappeared. So I went to search for it. So we found it, we brought it back. Then Hazrat ate from that cake, said, bahut lazeez hai. It's very tasty. Time to eat, you must eat. But don't overeat. Just sit on the floor and eat nicely in accordance with the sunnah. And then he told me, you must have 3 meals a day and try not to eat too much in between. In between, mustn't eat. Have your 3 meals a day, time to time. That's why one of his conditions, when I gave him da'wat to come here to South Africa, one of the conditions he put there, that kahin jo hai chai ki da'wat mein qubool nahi karta. Chai ki da'wat. Yes, you can, if it's time to eat food and somebody gives da'wat, we'll go. But chai ki da'wat, don't accept it. Because that is in between your eating times. Now that chai ki da'wat is that which makes it the fourth meal and the fifth meal. Sometimes the people give you such a big chai ki da'wat, that's like bamanzile khana. That's like you're serving you supper and they're serving you lunch. They give you so much. So he says that is very bad for your health. So nevertheless, this sunnah that has disappeared from our lives, Allah Ta'ala bring it back in our lives, that we start eating on the floor in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give me tawfiq also. Give all of us tawfiq. Let's eat on the floor in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, mu'min ki shan ye hai, ke koi bhi kaam kare to Allah ke yaha qubool ho. So the shan of a believer is, we're making amal, but we also want our amal to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. You want your amal to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Lekin qubooliyat ke liye do sharte hain. For acceptance, there are 2 conditions for acceptance. Number 1, amal nek ho. What we're doing must be something good. Sahibadi. When Allah Ta'ala gives you to do something, gives you permission, allowance, nek amal ho. And he says the adna level of nek amal is ibaha. The adna level, lowest level of permissible, of something where Shariat allows you, we say it's permissible in the Sharia. If something is permissible in the Sharia, you can do it, you can opt to do it. That will still constitute nek amal because Shariat gave permission for it. So if it wasn't, if it was something bad, then Shariat, Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have given instruction that you can do it. The fact that you're being allowed to do it, what does that stand for? What does it signify? It signifies that it is a good amal. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given rukhsat for it. Allah Ta'ala has given permission for it. You can do it. Adna darja is ibahat. Yani na sawab na guna. If you do it, it's fine. If you don't do it, there's no sin. That's ibaha. That's the lowest level of a nek action. And the second thing is very important. If any action to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, one is it has to be nek, and one is it has to be within the confines of the Shariat. The action itself has to be within the confine of the Shariat. It can't be something that is prohibited in the Shariat. Shariat ke hudud ke andar ho. It's within the parameter of the Shariat. Today, a lot of times, we get carried away. We want to do something, but we get carried away with the flow. We don't recognize, we don't analyze to see that this action that is taking place, does our Shariat allow it or it doesn't allow it? That we don't do that analysis. But because everybody is doing it, let's also do it. Hazrat said, Aisa na hona chahiye. Shouldn't be like that. We mustn't just go with the flow. Because the whole maqsood is the rida of Allah Ta'ala. That is the maqsood, is to get the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now how will a person get the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala if he's not confining his actions within the parameters of the Shariat? How will he get the happiness of Allah Ta'ala? The rida of Allah Ta'ala will only come if the action is within the hudud of the Shariat. And there's ikhlas in what he's doing. So there has to be ikhlas. The action must be good. And it has to be within the confine of the parameter of the Shariat. Then the action will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. That is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when they were building the foundations, the amal is important. But that is important. But the acceptance by Allah Ta'ala is even more important. That's why he kept on making the dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Qubuliyat is so important. So these are the conditions for qubuliyat. You have to have ikhlas. The amal must be nek. And it has to be within the confines of the Shariat. then that action would become pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. And a person, then Allah Ta'ala will reward him in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah, for his good deeds. And then he made a very, very important point. Luqman-e Hakim gave nasihat to his son and told his son, when somebody is pulling you towards something that is khilaf-e shariat, when somebody is pulling you, jab khilaf-e shariat ki taraf humko khinchne ki koshish ki jati hai, to us waqt mazboot rehna. Be steadfast. You get two types of forces. One force is pulls you towards right, and one force pulls you towards what is wrong. Even every human being has two qareens, two companions. One farishta and one shaitan. So the farishta is on the right hand side, the shaitan is on the left hand side. That's why if you have to spit in the namaz, Sanad, the Shariat gives you allowance to spit on the left hand side, not the right hand side. Saraji, or if you can, they can't find, you've got someone reading namaz on the left hand side, then you can spit under your foot in front of you. Saraji, or on your garment, and then you rub it according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have two qareens, one pulling towards good, one pulling. Now when you have influence that's coming on you, people are putting pressure on you to do something that khilaf-e shariat, that's the time we can't buckle. You can't buckle at that point. At that point, Luqman Hakim is telling his son that mazboot rehna. Be firm. And Hazrat then mentions, aajkal, which is very important. Bari musibat aa gayi hai. Very great calamity has reached this ummat. And that is ikhtilat. Intermingling between men and women. Intermingling between men and women, that is one of the biggest calamities that we are going through at the moment. So as if it has been legalized, as if it is jais for men and women to intermingle. Sanat, if you look everywhere, radio station, ladies, TV station, ladies, workplace, ladies, schools, ladies, every corner you look, ladies. Sanat, they're being promoted to come out, leave the homes, go away outside. Where the Quran says must stay at home, yeah, they're coming out of the house. So that is a very big problem we're having. It has basically, it's being standardized like, it's like normalized. There's nothing wrong with it. That's how society looks at it now. Alake, that's khilaf-e sharab. That's not good at all. There should be proper parda between men and women. But even in our homes, to Allah Ta'ala make us maaf. There has to be parda also. We're supposed to be making parda. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. The hadith it comes, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Alham wal-maut. The brother-in-law is death. So his sister-in-laws, brother-in-laws, they're mixing. That's not right. Mixing can't do like that. And also, if it's a house where they're not so wealthy, they can stay separately, all are living in one house. The Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, he should mention to us that that time must make sure the daughter-in-laws, they're dressed in such a way that not even one strand of hair is visible in the house. Because she's not living by herself now. There's other people living in the house. She must wear her burqa, she must wear her scarf in such a manner that ek baal bhi na dikhe. Not even one hair of hers is visible. That's how she has to dress in the house. Because there are other people staying in the house. So these are very important aspects that we are gone very lax regarding. And these are important masail, Sanaji. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So this is the nasihat he gave. And now when you are being firm on what is right, then obviously you're going to get backlash. Because you're not buckling, not towing the line, not prepared to break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So it doesn't matter who is giving you the instruction, but the law is being broken, you can't listen. Allah Ta'ala's haqq comes first, Allah's haqq is muqaddam. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. You can't obey the creation in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's haqq comes first. That's why he quotes this ayat, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. You must establish namaz, instruct with what is good, and make sabr on what afflicts you. Now he says this, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ has two mafhums to it, one عام mafhum and one khas mafhum. The عام mafhum is, if any calamity comes from Allah Ta'ala, then you must enjoy it. Make sabr. Because that's out of your control. This is a calamity that came from Allah Ta'ala, so we must be able to make sabr on that. So sabr fil musibah. And the other sabr is that once you don't buckle, you're going to get backlash. You'll be isolated. You'll be ostracized. Cast aside by your own family, your own loved ones. See, that person is breaking family ties. He doesn't come to mixed functions anymore. Now, you're having mixed functions, but you're not going. Say, kaise molana hai, kaise bhai hai, what kind of brother I got? He doesn't even come for our functions also. He's not coming because he doesn't want to come. He's not coming because every law of the Sharia is being broken. That's why he's not coming. So now you'll get allegations being made that he's cutting off family ties and all that. So in that time, you must make sabr for whatever people will say. You mustn't listen to them. Because our allegiance to Allah Ta'ala comes first. So that's the khas mafhum. Wasbir ala ma asabak. People will say a lot of things. Then he digresses a little bit and he says that our time is spent in three things. Either we are committing good deeds, or either we are doing bad deeds, or either we're doing none of the two. If we are doing good deeds, then we must think in whole day, 24 hours a day, how much of time of mine is being spent in good deeds. Now, if I look at a student or an alim of deen who's serving in a madrasa, he has to make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala that so much of his day gets spent in the khidmat of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Make shukr. How many periods a day you in the class? 7 periods a day, 8 periods a day. After Maghrib Mutala with your kitabs, till late night with your kitabs, in the first thing in the morning you in the masjid for further, whole day is in good deeds. That's to the barakat of the madrasa. So make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that in the 24 hours a day, how much of time of mine is being spent in good deeds. And then look at the time that is being spent in bad deeds in the whole day, how much of time I'm doing nonsense things, how many hours a day, and see the ratio. Compare the ratio between the two, between your good and your bad. And he says the third time is neither we're doing good, neither we're doing bad. He says, lekin wo ek bekar waqt hai. That's the time that is being basically trivialized, where you are just chilling out doing nothing. Right? So that's bekar waqt, he says. That's time, valuable time being wasted. Maulana Abrasa Rahmatullah Ali taught me one very important lesson. And he said that in life we should be productive. Hazrat shouldn't like young people being unproductive. He shouldn't like that at all. He taught us either we being productive in our deen, which is important, and either productive in the dunya. You must be productive in your life. You can't be stagnated in deen and dunya. If you are not involved in deeni activities, but then at least you must be active in your dunya also. You mustn't never be stagnated. And you should get very angry that the youth of India, you see them in the villages there. Most of the time, whole night they're playing with their cell phones and all that. Or they're playing cricket on the fields. Or they're sitting in the barber shop worrying about which style of hair they're going to do. Sitting in the barber shop. And they keep one small aina in their pocket. Or thus minute they take out the comb and they're looking at the hair. Ke meri surat kaisi hai. That am I looking handsome or I'm not looking handsome? Now in the barber shop they have all the hairstyles there on the wall. Now they looked, okay, now I'm going for this hairstyle, now I'm going for that hairstyle, now I'm going. He said that home whose youth, instead of being productive, are more worried about their hair, how can that home make taraqqi? How can that nation advance whose youth is getting involved in such trivial things and wasting their time? So Hazrat was not happy as far as wasting of time. And then you should say, I said, what's happening? I don't know if I should mention this, that why they're not being productive. They say, hamare bhai wahan bahar hai na, our brother is overseas, wo paisa bhejenge hamare liye. He'll send the money, we don't have to worry, hum relax kar sakte hai aap. So he says, what kind of a thing is that? That first ridar or that person going to stay, now we're dependent on that person for our income. Why don't we become productive of our own selves? That's what he taught me. That you must be productive in your life. In your deen also you have to be productive, and in your dunya also you have to be productive. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Hazrat said, very important thing. I'll conclude on this here. Imam Abu Hanifa gave nasihat to Imam Abu Yusuf. And what nasihat he gave? I'll also add to that point I made. And he should say, you see, bahar ke log, you mustn't stop sending money to your relatives. Zarurat mande, they don't have the opportunities that you have. So if you are staying overseas, and you got poor relatives overseas, then send the money over. Not because of what I'm saying, don't stop sending money. You still must continue sending money to your family members. You must add that also. So it's a baat puri ho jati hai. You see. Imam Abu Hanifa gave nasihat to Imam Abu Yusuf. And he told him, Allahu Akbar, agar faqa ki nobat aaye, tab bhi deen-e khidmat ko na chhodna. If a person got no money, he's down and out. No income. Very little money coming in. Allah Ta'ala puts the test. Every alim has to go through these tests, especially in the beginning phase of his career. After he graduates, he goes into the maidan. There's no red carpet waiting for a person. So one person went overseas, he said, Mufsab, he sent me a message. Some no person is cared that I became alim, I came here. So I told him, I told you before you left from here. There's no red carpet waiting for you there. Did you start your madrasa? Did you go into your masjid? Did you see if there's a functional maktab in your area? Why don't you go in the masjid, speak to the trustees and tell them I want to start my madrasa here? If you can't find any place, then start it from your veranda of your house. Sahibaji. Asal to kaam hai. Nobody gonna give you red carpet treatment. Don't expect it. It's not going to happen. So Imam Abu Hanifa gave nasihat to his student, Imam Abu Yusuf. He tells him that agar faqa ki nobat aave, that means if a person is down and out, he got no money now, he's counting cents in a bottle. You see, the money by the 20th of the month is finished. Now he still has to buy bread and milk for the next 10 days. And whatever cents and coppers he collected the whole 20 days from his purchases, he put it in one bottle. Now he has to scrounge around for those cents so he can make it for the end of the month, because he's living from month to month. He says, if that is your condition, tab bhi deen ki khidmat mat chhodna. Then too, don't stop making khidmat of deen, even if that is the condition a person goes through. What a nasihat he gave. What a nasihat he gave. If that is the condition also, that you have to go through. Sell sandwiches. Make something. Go hawk on the side of the road. There was one student that came to our madrasa. I'll conclude on this here. So I offered him. He was a married student. He was a married student. I offered him. I told him, Sir Khair, inshallah, we'll help you. One of our first students. So he said, no, Mufti Sahab. So I gave him a certain amount of money, a few thousand rands. Told him. So he went and he started buying a few things. This handkerchief and dukes and all small things. And then on a Saturday morning, he would go in front of the post office and sell from the boot of his car. That's what he used to do. And he got a wife, have to look after, pay expenses, all that. Allahu Akbar. But he carry on. He studied like that. Saturday, you sell on a corner. Then after he graduated, he came back, he had the money in an envelope, and he said, Musab, the money I gave you, I'm giving you back. The money you gave me, I'm returning it to you. You see? So, he became an alim. Today he's doing sterling work. Sterling work he's doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a part of sacrifice. So if Allah ta'ala puts a person through difficult times, don't throw in the towel. Make sabr and carry on. Inshallah, the time will come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on istiqamat and ikhlas, Allah Ta'ala will grant futuhat also. Allah Ta'ala will make it easy also. That is the latter part. In the initial part, there is a road of sacrifice. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepts his nasihat. May Allah Ta'ala keep has the shade over us for a long time, is not well, suffering from Parkinson's disease. He concludes his majlis with this dua, Allah Ta'ala, apni khidmat ka mauqa ata, apni deen ki khidmat ka mauqa ata farma de. Even in this condition, he goes from his house to the classroom. Sanat, they carry him to the classroom. Sanat, in this condition also. Or Allah Ta'ala, qubooliyat se nawaze. Allah Ta'ala, give us all qubooliyat. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Inshallah, we will make zikr now.